once upon a time, in the magical land of Equestria. Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 1. Deja Vu. It provokes the desire, but takes away the performance.
Dead. I should have been dead. Why'd everything hurt so fucking much? My eyes flitted open. Light. Blinding. Something standing above me. A pony. Or I could barely see. I thought I saw wings, maybe. And a cutie mark. I could see two clouds. That's what it looked like. A closed sky cutie mark. Like the wasteland. Fuck, everything hurt. Wildfire. She'd save me. Dead. She was still dead. My eyes closed. When I opened them again, the Pegasus had a syringe in its mouth.
Are you awake?
My eyes opened, and painful light filtered in. I was alive, somehow, starved, dehydrated, and suffering from vile poison. Yet I was alive. I should have died with Wildfire, so I closed my eyes, trying. I breathed deep, and my chest stung. If only I had a gun, I'd shoot myself and finish the job the wasteland started.
Oh, stop that. Open your eyes.
A dark brown stallion with a purple and green mane was looking over me. I guess he was a doctor, not because he was looking over me, but because he was wearing a white lab coat and doctory goggles with a stethoscope.
Hello?
Damn. When did my throat become a desert? Seemingly reading my mind, the doctor floated over a bottle of water, and I quickly sucked it back, wishing for more and expecting nothing. It tasted like a dinner fit for kings.
Dr. Morrowind, he said with a sweeping bow. Head physician and cybernetic expert of Watcher Caravan 54.
A what?
I asked.
A Watcher Caravan, he said slower.
What?
Sighing, he face-hoofed. Starvation must have killed brain cells.
I glared at him. Starvation had nothing to do with it. I was a certified idiot. If he didn't believe me, he could very well ask Wildfire.
The Watchers are an organization formed by the NCA, Iglo to be precise, whose goal it is to help every pony survive. Not for free, but we charge as little as possible to keep us going. Currently my base is in...
You save me?
I looked around the room wildly. It was a small, dingy room that smelled of stale piss and mold. The white walls were chipping, and the medical equipment seemed rusty, but better than anything I'd ever seen in Marefort. My heart sank as I thought of my hometown. Had I been alone, I would have cried, but weakness was not something I could afford to show. Steel myself up, I gave him my most defiant look, praying I didn't betray it.
No, he stopped. Kind of. Some pony carried you into Bridal Hope. Can't say who. Never did see him.
No, not save me. I was dead. As dead as Wildfire. She died trying to be a hero. But heroes die. I was given a second chance, and idiot as I was, I never made the same mistake twice. If surviving was all I could do, I swore to myself on that hospital bed that I would survive. Survive. No job too low, no boundary I wouldn't cross. I needed to be stronger, tougher. I promised Wildfire I'd kill the Crimson Hoof, all of them. And to do that, I had to throw away any pretensions of heroics. Heroics would kill me, sure as rain. I needed to survive.
What is your name, by the way? He seemed worried.
Hide Gun, I said. Who names their child Hide Gun, idiot? Quickly, I added. Where is this place?
Bridal Hope Implant Center and Hospital, he replied.
That made sense. Herbal medicine and all that. So you sell plants?
No. Implants. He shuffled his hooves awkwardly. I may have already added a neural enhancement to your frontal lobe. Though it may not have been enough. You looked like you needed it. Among other things.
Other? I tried to roll onto my front to get into a sitting position. Something was wrong. I couldn't feel one of my legs. But when I moved to roll, something helped me. And something helped me under my haunches.
Hearing a slight whirring and creaking, I saw it. My leg! My leg didn't exist. The one shot with star metal. The one that was twisted and blue. In its place was a skeleton of metal and wires. Fuck me with the barrel of my gun, I was a fucking robot.
Now calm down.
I pushed off the bed and tackled Morrowind to the ground, ready to shove my comb right down his throat.
But please, Liss, what the hell did you turn me into? You're a thing,
he screeched, his voice shrill, as I raised my new metallic hoof over his head. A more ironic death I couldn't figure. For some reason, the joint between my torso and my metal leg burned.
The poison! I took your leg! It was dead! I waited any longer, your whole body! Infected! I had to act!
More dangerous than I could imagine.
A single scratch from those things, and the infection will take you. If the scratch is on the head, neck, or torso, death is within hours. And the legs, it can be starved off for weeks, depending on the pony. But the blood will be forever tainted. You will die, but it will take longer for the star metal to claim you. Amputating the leg was all I could do to slow the infection. It gives you a chance. The prosthetic is free of charge. No worries about that. Please, don't do this.
I backed off him, stepping around the bed to where I'd been laying. The burning of my joint calmed down as he levitated a shotgun back into the corner. He'd been pointing it at my head, and I didn't notice. Shit. Okay, I said, sitting back in my haunches. Calm, cool, collected. Silver may have been hyper-aggressive when threatened, but High Gun had to be calculating and silent. Where in Equestria am I? I bent my left foreleg a bit, hearing it squeak. I suppose, being free, I couldn't expect it to be top of the line.
Not Equestria. Bridal Hope in the...
What? I said, puzzled. Not Equestria? But that was a pony I was talking to.
You're not in Equestria. Or not in what was Equestria before the war. That's north past the cliffs. Before the war, this territory was an independent state known as Caledonia. They were still ruled, technically, by Celestia, but it had its own governing party.
You were never bombed?
We were,
he assured me. That was good. Radiation was to part of my world, I'd be sad to see it go.
Not as severely. The states never officially declared war against the zebra. But there were more than zebras and ponies in the war. Zebras fed spells to their allies, and we were bombed.
I just realized how little I cared about history. Okay, Bridal Hope. Whatever. I need work.
You still have a debt to pay.
He looked taken aback by my interruptions, but must have learned not to aggravate me. Smart pony.
The leg was free, but other services we provide were not. Worry not. You look capable with a gun, right? I'll give you some caps for a new one, and I'll need you to help me guard a supply wagon east. We are supplying purified water to the outlying villages, you see. And raiders, well, you know. After that, all you need to do is follow me to Dice and meet my boss, and then you're free to find work.
Dice? I said. Like the things gambling-type ponies rolled? I wasn't sure I was understanding.
Dice,
Morrowind said, licking his lips as he continued. You've never heard of Dice? I shook my head, and I swear I heard him mutter something about another implant. The City of Lights, Sin City, once called Celestia's Paradise. But the sign bearing the name had faded to just Dice, so that's what the residents called it. Before the war, it was some sort of getaway, where the worst of all sins were treated as commonplace. According to the doctor, and his rather sketchy sources, the Ministry of Morale built it as an adult party, where veterans of the war could go to wash their fears away. Only the main strip was actually owned by Equestria. The rest of the city was independent. Apparently it had survived the war, or at least it wasn't bombed quite so much as everywhere else in the world. There was gambling there, he said, and I agreed to go. Hell, this last city in the world might be half interesting, and the idea of gambling my caps away warmed my stomach. First, we had to deliver water, which seemed weird. According to him, it'd take me a week there from Dice and a week back. Wouldn't they need water or something between that? Par for the course, it was just me being an idiot. The water, he explained, was for medical procedures and the like. Nothing more dangerous than pouring radiation straight into a wound. They also delivered Radaway and Radax when the locals did have to drink the local supply. but the fresh water went a long way to help small communities. Hell, if Marifor had semi-regular pure water shipments, it would have reduced trade costs by a sizable percentage due to the less right-of-way we'd have to purchase. Moreover, the Watchers gave it away for bloody free. Free! Maybe they hadn't gotten the memo that the world had ended and it was a fight-for-yourself time. Still, I know I had wantonly decided to be a cold-blooded mercenary and all that, but I couldn't help but be thankful the first job Celestia sent me was from such a group. Stable 42 was just a taste of what was to come in my journeys, and I knew that. But at least working for the Watchers, I wouldn't make me hate myself. I already hated myself enough. I really should have paid more attention where I was going. I tripped. Fell face first into a mailbox with a ringing sound and a sharp pain through my head. My neck snapped back as I flipped onto my side, groaning. Looking down at my leg, I saw my stupid mechanical leg stuck in a hole. Of course, if I had a real fucking leg, I would have felt it, but metal had no nervous system. Sighing, I stayed on the ground, staring up at the cloudy sky. Gray and dead, just like this town. Well, this town was actually brown and teeming with life, but just let me have my metaphors, okay? I said aloud, DJ Pwn 3. Lowering my head, I pressed my pit buck with my nose. Nothing. I pressed it again. Nothing at all. That's it. I'm going to burn all technology. Bridal Hope General Store? Since when did my pit buck have a map? Apparently passing out in the Dias Wasteland improves your technology. Maybe if I got myself into two more comas, my pit buck might just come with magical limb regeneration powers. That damned implant did something to my mind. I never had this imagination thing before. I was like some sort of idiotic daydreaming cyborg named Hired Gun. I really should have thought that name through.
Hey there, Sweet Pea!
Of course, there were worse names. Above me was a slightly older mare with a thick black mane with white streaks and a dirty green coat.
What you doing on that there ground? I ain't never seen you around these parts before. I'm Nana Jane, proprietor of this store. And you are?
Hired, I started.
Gun, yes. Don't forget a name like that easily.
Her grin mocked me.
You're the one what passed out south of town, right? Or was that dragged here, some say? No matter, I suppose. Way I hear it, you're in debt to the Watchers. Good folks, them. Don't be listening to any rumors. They're good folks.
Repetitive and annoying. Great. If she knew me at all, she'd know I didn't listen to any rumors. Nothing but bad blood there.
Now, you be wanting some guns, right? Well, you come to the right place, I says. Just stay out of the back room.
Trotting behind me, she pushed me until I got up, and I walked into her store. Celestia approves of aggressive marketing.
You'll be wanting a battle saddle.
I nearly said I had one, until I remembered I'd used it to crush some opponent's face. Good times.
Now, this model ain't new, but it's reliable. Comes with an auto-reload function and dual 57 repeaters.
The guns were not impressive. They looked old, rusted, and ready to fall apart. Whatever, they shot bullets, and that was enough.
500 caps.
The doc would later yell at me for getting scammed. I also bought some apple snacks and a bottle of Sunrise Sarsaparilla. It was a nice town, I guess. A few cobbled-together houses made from the remnants of a pre-war town. Less ponies than Marifort, but larger area. It felt open, like I could walk for hours and still be in town. No tripping over sleeping ponies or dodging fillies as they ran underfoot. Idiot, stop thinking of Marifort. That pony's dead. When did I become such a drama queen? I needed to kick something. Sometimes the goddesses were just. As I walked down a small hill, I heard shouting,
"Get off my damn farm!"
Pop quiz. What happens when lizards absorb too much magical radiation? They grow and gain sharp needle-like teeth, of course. Another reminder of the apocalypse. I charged headfirst down the hill and spattered a gecko's head with a resounding bang. To my left, a second climbed a white picket fence and jumped maw first at me. Apparently my metal leg was inedible, given the whine as it chewed on it. With a single shake, the beast lost its grip and went airborne. It was the easiest thing in the world to aim, and my joint burned as the beast's head exploded without me firing a shot. I turned my head to see a beautiful white unicorn mare standing there with a smoking gun floating beside her. Her deep red mane cascaded down her head and back like a waterfall, reminding me of wildfires. Damn, now I'm sad. And throbbing.
Looking down, I saw one of those fuckers had its teeth sunk into my leg above my pit buck.
Get off!
I shook my other leg this time.
But the only thing this accomplished was to make it sting more. It was then I realized how much better it'd be to be a unicorn,
as I couldn't aim my battle saddle at my own leg. The gecko exploded into bloody chunks thanks to the beautiful unicorn mare. Turning my attention, I gave a bloody grin. Three left. I bit my battle saddle reins, hearing the lovely kick of a reloading gun.
You're an idiot!
I winced a little as the beautiful. Okay, I think I made that point clear. Feel free to add the word beautiful from now on. Unicorn mare painfully cleaned my wound.
Why would you charge down a hill like that?
She had her head down so I could just barely see her radiant. It's not beautiful, shut up. Purple eyes peering through her hair. Her name was Pearly, and I had said it was a lovely name because I am stupid. Apparently, idiot heroes were in season as she smiled when I said that.
You have a new leg, you know. And have you even tested them guns yet? They could have been faulty.
Truth be told, she seemed more disturbed when I mentioned I bought my gun from Nanny Jane than my skeletal middle leg. I didn't question it further, though. Rumors never helped any pony. She half led, half dragged me to her little shack on the other side of her meager farm.
Turns out irradiated water is not the best for growing crops, but she tried.
She mentioned something about an NCA farm near Dais that managed to find a way around the problem, but that really meant nothing to me. Her shack was a little on the small side, with little else besides a stained mattress and a table to its name. Sorry, I said as coolly as I could. She just smirked at me, making me feel half a fool, which, since I always felt half a fool, made me feel like a full fool, or something. I never was good at math. She sighed deeply, looking at me.
Listen, thanks. I don't have any cash to pay you for your help, but I can take a look at those guns of yours, make 'em run right. That Nanny Jane.
She made the word a curse. Why was gossip so tempting? Don't know the butt from the barrel. She pressed her hoof to my forehead, checking my temperature, I guessed. The flush in my cheeks must have skewed her data, though.
You feeling sick? Lightheaded? Dizzy?
I shook my head.
Weak? Like you're gonna throw up?
I shook my head again, and she just frowned.
Those gecko bites are poisonous. You should be sick.
Nope, wasn't.
Whatever. You're feeling fine, and that's what matters. Hate to see you sick.
Her smile made me smile. Damn things are infectious. Come on, Silver. You're supposed to be a cold, hard killer. Or something.
You don't talk much, do you, hun?
Why, oh why, did she have to use that word? No, I said.
Why not, hun? You got a lovely voice.
Nothing to say.
Quiet one, eh? You know, you don't leave till the morrow, and you look like you'd make a good poker player.
That quiet hard ass, yeah. You'll bluff like a pro. I had no idea what that meant.
Let's hit the casino.
The casino, I found out later, was a large building full of colorful flashing lights. They also sold whiskey. Whiskey is amazing. I woke up with a headache. Visions of the night before flickered dimly in my head. The first hour was clear. I turned out to be a terrible poker player, as I couldn't understand the rules, but I liked blackjack. Even an idiot can count to 21. Then the drinks came, and things got less clear. There was drinking and dancing, some pony dancing. I doubt it was me. I never danced. There were other memories, too. Nothing clear, though, but I remember being warm, very warm. I shook my head, and that made it throb more. Why did whiskey forsake me so? Groaning, I opened my eyes, rolling onto my side as my middle leg clanged loudly against something, sending a spark of pain flashing through my head. It was then I realized I didn't know where I was. I had been staying at the local clinic, but this wasn't it. It was small, dirty, and... What was my battle saddle doing crumpled in a corner? Wait, this was Pearly's house. Now why was I in there? Speak of Nightmare Moon, and she appears. Pearly trotted into her house at that moment, a basket of shriveled apples in her mouth. With a smile and a blush, she dropped it before me, flipping her red hair a bit before regarding me shyly.
I know it ain't much, but, you know, with the radiation and all, it's amazing anything grows at all.
You must have a green hoof, I said. That was stupid. Obviously her hoof was white, not green. Apparently speaking in cliches was all I was capable of. I blame the whiskey, or that neural implant Doc installed.
Both were amazing and shitty, like my life, except without the amazing part. I've also been rambling a lot more. Maybe the brain is trying to get used to the new enhancements by subliminally making me think of stupid shit to work it out. Over my head, I bit into the apples. Kind of dry, but very tasty. At least compared to the 200-year-old food I was used to eating. They're good. I wasn't sure if the look on her face was one of pride or relief. So, about last night, something in my stomach tightened. Clearly she was nervous, and about something I didn't remember. Crap. Damn you, whiskey. Give me my memories back. Was she blushing? Yep, blushing, and staring at the floor. Quickly I got to my hooves and nuzzled her neck. It was good. Her head jolted back. Startled, maybe. Yeah, good. I wonder if there is some sort of a motion-detecting implant. I was a cyborg already. One more wouldn't hurt. Maybe then I'd understand these crazy ponies. She backed off, turning quickly. The doctor is looking for you. You should go. He's impatient, and you should never keep a watcher waiting. What? Nothing. A stupid rumor. She turned, smiling brightly with her eyes. Want some dirt on who you'll be sharing guard duty with? Normally, rumors were not my cup of tea, but between the headache, for once I was thankful for the overcast sky, any brightness in my brain would have exploded. Twice. And the confusion regarding my activities the night before, well, I couldn't say no.
Now, the unicorn is named Lai. She speaks softly, but a lot, though, even though most of them can't hear a word she's talking about. The Pegasus is Sail, I believe. I don't know much about him, except he's a mercenary from Daesh or something. Seems a nice buck, but he gives the dirtiest looks. I groaned a bit, resting my head on the table. You feel all right, hon?
I nodded groggily. My head was pounding, and now I was learning things. My brain officially hated me. She poked me with her horn.
You sure?
After getting dressed, she kissed, waved goodbye, giving me a present, one of the explosive variety, as I left. As I strode through town, various ponies I didn't recognize smiled at me and called out. I replied curtly as I couldn't remember anything. One of these days I'd ask Pearly what exactly happened, but then again somehow I knew that question would be awkward. Oh well, I'd just not think about. What was the likelihood I'd ever come back to this backwater town anyway? As I trotted my way up the hill leading to the clinic, I took a break from staring at my feet, to make sure the stupid middle leg didn't trip on anything, to notice that beside the clinic there was a rather large building with flashing lights all over it. It took me half a second to realize it was the casino. When the hell did it get there? And better yet, why? If my temporary residence was mere meters away from the casino, did I stumble all the way to Pearly's home? Also, who builds a den of iniquity and hubris next to a medical building? It was just asking for trouble.
Hi, Dr. Morwen cantered up to me. Glad to see you're up and about, and so active. Normally, rehabilitation takes much longer.
Rehabilitation? Rehabilitation, I said.
You know, learning to use your leg now that it's gone.
The brown doctor perked up and tilted his head. Oh, sorry, I said. Didn't know I was supposed to be rehabilitated.
So,
he measured me closely, holding his head high so as to look at me eye to eye.
You don't need rehabilitation. Because you didn't know you needed rehabilitation? You truly are special.
He whinnied before trotting back to his caravan, intentionally or unintentionally whipping his green tail at me. 4 covered carriages, 8 Brahmin to pull the carriages, 12 ponies including myself, 1 Pegasus, and more bottles of purified water I cared to count, so at least a dozen.
There's the pony I was talking about, the doctor said to his ragtag bunch. Hired gun.
He really didn't have to snicker every time he said my name. Cracking my neck to the side, I regarded my company. Other than the doctor, I recognized a bright blue Pegasus in a twin battle saddle and a black and white maned unicorn with a soft smile. The rest I hadn't bothered to learn the names of. Hopefully they wouldn't try talking to me.
Introductions later, the doctor said hastily. We're days behind schedule.
And thus we left. I took one last look at Bridal Hope, realizing I had never really looked at it. A single road ran from the clinic and casino, weaving in between rows of once identical houses that had fallen into ruin or been repaired with spare parts. The road split near the center into a broken highway, leading north and south. To the northwest, near the bottom of a small hill, was Pearly's shack and farm. For a second, I thought I saw her staring up at me. The only other building of note was an abandoned school with a tall bell tower, notably lacking a bell. Sighing, I filed behind the last cart, walking slowly to as not trip. On the other side of the hill that held the clinic was a small dirt road that twisted down and east for a ways before turning north into the hills, Raider territory.
What brings you here?
The pony behind the gate asked. The pony named Smooth Tongue, you, I thought. Sighing, I backed away. NCA guard station, the Blue Pegasus sail, told me. I really could have guessed that. They were decked out to the nines in large battle saddles with dual rifles, armored biting with the letters NCA embroidered on the side like a target, and full helmets that made them basically a faceless representation of the entire government. Sail flipped in the air and landed to my left. New Caledonian Alliance. Cali what? This seemed like one of the things I should have known. Maybe if the Crimson Hoof allowed free trade, we may have gotten some traders from the south, and, you know, information from the world besides a small section we were permitted to trade with. I used the word trade 3 times in that last sentence, if my idioticness needed any clarification. Caledonian. It's like the country what was here before every pony blew up. He jumped in the air, flapping beside me. Maybe if I hit him, he'd stay still. The NCA is actually a coalition of 5 cities who formed an alliance so as to deal with outsiders more unifiedly. Even I knew that wasn't a word. Truth is, 5 of them fight amongst themselves more than they make deals with outsiders. Their foray into Dae's wasteland is the first real attempt at diplomacy. Well, they're doing a fantastic job. Random understaffed highway checks near Raider territory certainly wouldn't end in wholesale slaughter. Also, this sale seemed to be able to read my mind. It's for appearances. They want the locals to think they care. Why? I asked. Hell if I know, he said. Do I look like that government type to you? Your enclave. I knew that because he kept mentioning it. True enclave. Don't let them assholes closing up the sky tell you any different. Mentally, I reminded myself to try and care. We left on purpose, we did. And we'll show them one day. We'll show them why we're the true enclave. Sounded like a blast. You are working for the Watchers? I asked. Yeah, what's wrong with that? He crossed his forelegs, flying backwards, facing me. Why? I asked. Huh? 'Cause they hired me. What are you, dumb? Yep. Still, his explanation didn't seem to touch on the real point, and that was why the Enclave, these superior government Pegasus types, would hire themselves out for caps. Pearly called them Enclave Remnants, which obviously meant some sort of separate breakaway group not at all associated with those what closed off the sky. Pearly had explained to me who the Enclave were earlier, and I pretended to care. Don't matter. These NCA types ain't gonna stay. They expect Dice to bow to their spear tech and fancy uniforms. That ain't gonna happen. Dice answers to no pony. Whatever, I said. I watched the doctor speak with the 2 NCA officers. The ramshackle hotel that served as their headquarters loomed behind them. The stallions, actually 1 stallion and 1 mare, spoke to the doctor from behind the newly erected fence. Any pony could have easily walked around their guard post, but our carriages wouldn't have made it up the steep hills that flanked us. The only other option was taking the time to go around one of the hills and hoping there wasn't another guard station there. How much longer? A voice said below me. A green colt pouted up at me, shaking his gray mane. Soon, mischief. That really was a bad name to give a colt. He was some pony's son, or an orphan who worked for the Watchers. I forgot. The cutie mockless colt prided himself as the group's mascot. Maybe we needed a flag with him on it or something. They should hurry up. I'm bored. They're Watchers, you know. I know, I said. And nobody messes with the Watchers. We give water to all the ponies, so they should just let us through. I tried to respond, but mischief sped away, kicking dirt in my face. I coughed. Kids. He's right, though, said Sale. If the NCA want to gain a trust with the ponies, they best learn not to impede the Watchers. I could have nodded, but the fact that the 2 NCAs opened the gates and let us pass without any further difficulty proved my point. As we marched past their little operation, I took a chance to steal a look at their weapons. Semi-automatic rifles with recoil suppressors attached to the saddles, and what looked like a special ammo changing mechanism activated by a pull of a lever. Nice. One of the NCAs, I need a better name for NCA grunts, disagreed and glared beneath their helm, growling. Matching the glare, I kept my eyes on him till we passed by. Is it always like this? I asked.
Yes,
a soft voice said beside me. The unicorn mare Pearly had told me about had somehow appeared beside me, and I hadn't noticed. She looked absolutely ridiculous with that huge gun attached to her tiny frame.
In the east, NCA guard posts are as prevalent as the raiders are resilient. You'll find Steel Ranger outposts too, but less often. And they move frequently to avoid the NCA. Closer to Dais, you'll be stopped constantly by one of the major gangs, sending out patrols to keep undesirables from getting close to the city. Most will leave you alone, or at most filch some caps from you. In the west, don't go west.
I literally had to stretch my ears up to even hear her. Steel Rangers? I asked. She sighed.
You'll know them when you see them.
I've always said ponies need to be more vague. I did know when I saw them. As daylight waned in the sky, I assumed by the dimming light, but when the sun was perpetually hidden, it's hard to say. They came rumbling out from behind brown rocks that looked eerily similar to my cutie mark. Four of them trotted slowly to us, completely unafraid of our superior numbers. I didn't blame them. Each was dressed from nose to tail in thick metal armor that I don't think all our guns combined could pierce. Their flashlight eyes glowed eerily as the huge laser weapons unfolded on their backs and pointed at us. I was positive a single one could have wiped the floor with us with one forehoof and fought off all of Crimson Hoof with the other. But even in all their armor, I was still larger than any one of them.
We can take them. We can...
I quickly lifted Mischief up by his mane and threw him onto my back.
What? Put me down. I will...
I turned my head around and shot him a glare that could shatter glass.
Who leads here?
The lead ranger asked. Dr. Morrowind stepped forward, his head held high.
Chief, I said to the rambunctious colt, stay back.
Or else, my tone implied. He got the picture and hopped off my back and galloped away as I took my place beside the dock. The Steel Ranger who'd spoken took off his helmet and shook his, whoops, her white mane before walking up. The yellow pony seemed smaller and younger without the ferocious mask, but completely in control. This was routine for her.
I am Blackwater. Name. How many in your party? Destination.
Dr. Morrowind, 13 and a colt, to the villages of Maring, Stafford, and Winden to deliver water.
She looked at the doctor over a few times, her eyes as cold as ice.
Water?
Aye, on behalf of the watchers. There was a faint smile on her muzzle.
No doubt. Do you know how often I hear that? Some ponies providing weapons to the raiders around the hills. The other day a patrol was hit by a rocket launcher. Could never be too careful.
Her head half tilted to the silent ranger behind her.
Search their things.
She turned back to the dock.
How many guards?
Three.
Kill any pony with a weapon who is not a guard.
She finished almost impassively. Was this really them trying to impress the locals and gain support? At least the NCA threats of bloody murder were subtle instead of overt.
You.
It just made no sense.
You.
Huh? I blinked, realizing Blackwater was staring at me.
Are you slow?
My response was dead stare, so she continued.
Who are you?
Hired gun. I matched her cold tone.
Oh? And where are you from, hired gun?
North, I said.
North is large and expansive. Be more specific.
Equestria. Sighing, she tried another line of questioning.
What happened to your leg?
She eyed my metal leg greedily as I heard shouts and complaints behind me. Steel Rangers were not tactful and not subtle. No wonder so many disliked them. Lost it, I said.
How?
She stamped her hoof, obviously impatient. Shot, I answered.
With?
A bullet, I said flatly. Thinly held back rage flashed across her face as thinly veiled amusement flashed across mine.
You know, if I had reason to believe you were helping raiders or affiliated with a raider gang, I could have you arrested and strip that leg out from under you. Do not treat this as a game.
If, I said. She laughed a bit.
I like you.
She turned away from me finally.
Tattle, Blacklight, report.
Nothing.
Both said in unison as they trotted up behind her, the final not far behind.
Well,
Blackwater said, magically placing her helmet back on.
You're clean. Thank you for your cooperation.
They stood aside and let us pass. It wasn't until they were a ways away before they left their spot. Clearly they wanted to keep where they were going a secret, and their checkpoints random. Their strategy was clearly more effective, if more hostile.
Blood! There was so much blood! It soaked through my coat, painting it a bright red. I tried to save her. I did. She was shot. Killed. I tried to avenge her, I did. I killed the fucker what killed her. And then his blood soaked me too. I ran. I kept running. One pony with a spear in his mouth and a gun on his flank blocked my way, so he died too. My brother stood in front of me laughing, and I had to kill him. So much blood. I ran until I couldn't run no more. And then I found a mirror hanging from the ceiling from a length of rope. I saw myself dripping in blood. I shook my head. No, I was under that blood. Silver storm, silver coat, white and pink mane, lavender eyes. I was there. I had to see myself. There was only blood. In the mirror, even my eyes were red. Above the mirror was two words floating in the air. Hired gun. Gasping, I stepped back. The pony in the mirror reached out and touched me. I did not wake up by jumping out of bed. That never happens to any pony. If you thought that was going to happen, you've read too many stories and should be ashamed. I woke slowly, my eyes flittering open. Firelight blinded my vision for a second, making my head pound. Blinking away the light, I strained to see. The wagons had been put up at a perimeter around our little camp, and the fire made everything outside the circle nothing but blackness. Groaning, I rolled to my hooves, nearly falling when I realized my metal limb didn't react. Looking down at the metal thing as I leaned heavily on my good right leg, I noticed it wasn't glowing. Had it before? There was supposed to be a light or something. I really should have asked about its operation. Battery must have died, I muttered to myself. I quickly turned, leaning forward and going to bite for my bridle trigger, which was not there, because I was sleeping, and no pony sleeps with weapons on them. From the darkness around the camp emerged the doctor.
Just me, taking a piss. Sails flying around. Says the light around here makes it too hard to see. He nickered at me. Did you not think to ask how it works? I assume science, I said flatly.
He stopped. I wasn't sure if he was going to laugh or cry.
That's the gist of it, he said.
In the middle of the night, he launched into a near hour-long lecture about proper cybernetic maintenance. The most important parts I'll summarize for the sake of being laconic. First, recharge or change the battery every 3 days. Second, don't wear it while swimming. Third, cover it up when it's raining. Fourth, clean it regularly to make sure it does not rust. And finally, do not wear it if it's sparking. He also gave me instructions on how to actually remove the leg should I need to. Having already lost one leg and not wanting to lose the same one twice, I actually listened. I shock myself sometimes. I changed the battery out. For those curious, it was a small pack that could be removed from my leg near my shoulder with a small green light when charged. After I'd finished, there were rocks to guard. My shift was the last shift, so after standing and looking at darkness, I was treated to a long hike through the dreary brown wasteland. Then the raiders came. The rockets overhead deafened me. In truth, I should have seen it coming. Things were going far too well for me. I'd survived the hell stable 42, met some ponies that didn't hate me, got my lost leg back, and even started building a new life for myself. Obviously, it was not to be. Sail fell first. We had been trudging along in the unbearable heat when he called out a warning. I looked up just in time to see a bullet burst through his wing in a spray of blood. He crashed too far away to save, and that was when they came. Quickly barking orders, I managed to form our wagons into a circular defensive barrier, but the wood walls were weak and the raiders had the high ground. Even though every pony had managed to get into the circle, except Mischief, the poor colt, three more of our group had fallen, and Morrowind was dying.
"Here," I felt my mouth say, but my ears were still ringing too loud to hear anything. Pouring the last of the medical potion down Morrowind's throat, he coughed up most of it. These supplies are supposed to go to needy villages, but fuck them. Drink! The brown pony spat out the rest as my hearing returned, treating my senses to a flurry of gunshots.
No. Dang.
The idiot tried to save Mischief, ran out into open fire to the colt's corpse, and got shot for his trouble. Blood was flowing down his chest when Sale somehow recovered from his crash and managed to draw all the fire on him. The distraction was enough for me to drag Doc back into the safety zone, but it was for naught. Sale gave his life in an impressive last stand for a pony that was going to die anyway. Damn it, it was too much to ask to save a single life sometime. Of course, a voice in my head told me, here's a dead, survive. Bullets pierced the bottom of the tipped over cart I was leaning behind, making me jump up out of my skin.
Leaving the dying doctor to rest, I inched my way over to the side of the barricade in the gap between wagons and peeked out. I fell back, gagging. The colt, Mischief, lay a few meters away, torn in half by the explosion that decimated his body. The more daring carrion crows were already starting to settle down around him. I wouldn't look. I couldn't. No thinking. Grieve later. It was time to kill. Leaning out, I saw a target. Bang! Bang! The second shot wasn't mine. Something pounded into one of my guns, throwing me off balance. Almost falling over, I instead rolled so I was behind the opposite barrier from before. Breathing heavy, I swore. A lot. My rightmost gun was a bent and battered mess. My new fucking gun.
Won't be long,
Lai said beside me.
Damn, how did she do that?
Turning her a small green frame, she regarded me slightly.
They think we have something of theirs, else they wouldn't have used that launcher directly. They're biding their time, hoping we'll surrender.
Aw, hell. Why don't we just do that? I thought. Lai continued.
So they'll have an easier time killing us after plundering whatever it is they're after.
At least,
I grunted as bullets rained down at our barricades.
They're efficient.
And cautious. Even the Crimson Hoof would have just swarmed us and got it over with. These guys were worried about casualties. So either they were running low on murderers, or were the most brotherly of all raiders. I hope the former. Turned to Lai, I noticed her barding had ripped, revealing an eye-shaped cutie mark.
Seeing, she explained when she noticed me staring. My magic allows me to see through walls and buildings and the like.
It didn't make her soft voice any easier to hear over the din. Why? Pulling two of the grenades Pearlie had given me as a present when I left her shack, I looked at Lai. Her expressionless face threatened to smile. My shoulder burned as her horn and eyes glowed. Turning back to where she was looking, her hoof motions directed me. At the count of three, she tossed the first grenade behind me, and I bucked it as hard as I could. Seconds later, an explosion echoed across the dusty hill lands, making the remaining ponies huddled around the barricade jump. Useless, the whole lot of them. Only two had attempted to take up weapons, even after the raiders killed their family. One just kept muttering,
watch your C's, watch your C's,
over and over, and the rest sobbed or stayed deathly quiet. I was better off alone, or with Lai. Trying to save them was going to get me killed.
To the right, and not so hard,
Lai instructed. The second explosion was followed by a hail of screams, so I knew I did get that one right. Lying low, I crawled over to Lai, who had just turned off her sight. They're useless, I motioned to the huddled mass behind her. Only six, but that was all was left of the caravan save me, Lai, and the doc.
Shit!
Turning swiftly, I remembered leaving the doc lying in blood. Inching over to his body, I touched the brown stallion's head. Dead.
Shit. Of course they are, Lai had followed. Damn, she was quiet. Their leader is dead. They have never held a gun in their life. They know we are going to die.
Heh. Dying was not in my game plan. I had already died once, and it totally sucked. Cowards? She raised an eyebrow at me.
In the face of such overwhelming odds, what would you propose?
Make them regret killing us.
You are one of a kind.
I clapped my metal hoof on her shoulder. Two. Her mouth opened as if to speak, but instead her eyes glowed, and she looked to the hill where the raiders were camped. What is it? I meant to ask, but only screaming answered. Four of the six scrambled towards me. All would have been dead if Lai hadn't chose that moment to stand up and lay some cover and fire. I scrambled past the herd to find a pony that had been muttering, "Watch your C's," missing a sizable chunk of his forehead. A purple mare with purple and pink hair wept over his body.
Come on, I tried to touch her, but she shrugged me off almost violently.
No, don't die, please,
I growled, trying to tug on her tail, but she didn't notice.
Everything I gave you.
Her tears fell, mixing with the blood on the ground. My stomach wrenched for her, but I kept pulling. Dime wasn't going to bring him back.
Please, we were going to have a child. You can't. Watch your C's, he wouldn't.
A shot rang out through my ears. Her body fell on top of him as the last of her tears hit the dirt. I dropped beside them as more bullets rang overhead. Our barriers had been shot to hell, looking more like Swiss cheese than a barricade. They had lasted longer than I expected, in truth. Peeking over the bodies to the other side of the circle, Lai stared at me. The remaining ponies huddled behind her small frame. With her huge gun hovering with her magic above her head, she spoke. I couldn't hear her words, but I could read her lips.
They come.
Taking a deep breath, I nearly gagged from the smell of death. Gritting my teeth, the rumble of raiders running down from the hill drowned out the all noise. Turning my back to them, I used all of my considerable strength to buck the remains of the wagon at them. There was a sickening crunch and a satisfying scream. Facing the horde, I shot the first thing I saw, a yellow unicorn with a pink mane. His head exploded into the faces of his comrades. Taste that, raiders? That's death. You'll get your fill soon enough. More came streaming over, and I could hear the blast of Lai's gun to my left. I didn't look. No time. Shooting again, I dropped a pony charging me to her knees. The second shot entered her neck. She probably died, but I never bothered to check. Running and jumping over her, I careened into another. Before I had a chance to think, he had managed to wrestle me to my back. My battle shrunk to the two of us. His hoof pressed into my forehead, pushing it hard to the ground. Involuntarily grunting in pain, I managed to untangle my metal leg. I rolled my eyes to see a serrated knife in his red maw. Fuck. My heart kept pounding, his knife moved closer. My metal hoof cracked against his skull, and the knife fell from his grip. I struck again, and he fell off me. I found myself atop him. His face was purpling. Why? Oh. My metal leg was pressed in his neck. Blood bubbled around where the metal bit into him, and he gave one last wheeze for air before dying. I stood. The screams and scent of blood hit me. Turning, I saw Lai backed into a corner by six ponies as the last of the survivors died noisily. Walk away, Hired Gun told me. Saving her would just get me killed. All around me, ponies were dead and dying. One more body wouldn't change that. Walk away when nobody's looking. Survive.
Lai's gun clicked. Empty.
I charged. I took the first one from behind, lifting her up with my head and throwing her to the ground. Shots rang, biting into me. Even as blood ran down my body, I didn't care. I shot until I ran out of bullets, killing some, wounding others. I bashed the head of one who still had their gun magically pointed at Lai. My joint burned. I was too late. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Lai's head explode into bloody chunks. Now I was dead. Too many. I should have ran. Survive. I backed up. The raiders were dark, dirty, and covered in blood. The way they circled me, guns bristling, made it seem like they were one body, a single raider entity that encompassed all the separate dirty pots until one of them broke the circle. A single earth buck. His mane and coat were a uniform brown, save for a single streak of black in his mane and tail. Green eyes regarded me warily, a frown dancing on his lips as his tail whisked back and forth behind him. You. Me, I agreed. I did so love it when raiders glared at me. He wore no armored body, showing his gray chain cutie mark proudly. On his back was a battle saddle with a single scoped rifle. The urge to kill rose suddenly. I had to dig my hooves into the ground so as to not to strike out. Sail, Dr. Morrowind, Mischief, Lai. He had killed them all. My friends. Or almost. You've caused me a lot of trouble. His measured words behind carefully concealed rage. And now you stand here, drenched in the blood of my men, surrounded. Any last words? All I could think was about the smell of blood. So many ponies had died here, and for what? Was I just to stand here and let him win? I couldn't fight them all. My body was weak, and my wounds were seeping blood. If only I could rest, I could fight. The voice in my head screamed, Survive! I stared back at him levelly and asked, You hiring? Footnote. Level up. New implant. Intelligence implant. Intelligence plus one. New perk. Dash speed reload. All your weapons reload 20% faster. Quest perk. Legless. Strength plus one. DT plus one. Unarmed plus 10. Special note. Your strength is jacked up to 11. Skill notes. Unarmed 50.